Now will you listen to God's answer? Chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, I will send my messenger. He shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. Now here in one verse we have the two messengers. The first one is John the Baptist. The second is the messenger of the covenant, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now the messenger, the first one, that is to go before and prepare the way, is John the Baptist, and it's quoted in all four of the Gospels as applying to John the Baptist. So there's no guesswork here. But the messenger of the covenant is never quoted anywhere in the Gospels. You know why? Because this messenger of the covenant here is the Lord Jesus, but doesn't have anything to do with his first coming. He didn't come the first time to judge. Remember, he even said to this man, "Who made me a judge over you?" And he hasn't come yet to judge. He came to save. He came to bring grace, not government. He came as the one that is the Savior, not the sovereign. And so it's not quoted. I say that is one of the remarkable things about this. I just like to turn to these passages that refer to John the Baptist. And I'm going through them rather hurriedly. The first one is in Matthew, the 11th chapter, verse 10. Let me read this. The Lord Jesus, you remember, said concerning him, verse 9, "But what went ye out for to see, a prophet? Yea, I say, and unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it's written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare the way before thee." Now that's in Matthew. Now you go over to Mark, the first chapter, even verse 2, and it reads, "As it is written in the prophets, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare the way before thee." And then go on over to the Gospel of Luke, the 7th chapter and the 27th verse. And let me read this. I'd like to read more, but just this verse. "This is he of whom it's written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee." Luke quotes it. And then over in the Gospel of John, and in John 1, verse 23, he said, "I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness, Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah." And Malachi had that to say also. And here again is the answer. God will send him first as a Savior, because he's gracious and he wants to save. But that doesn't end it all. He's coming again as the messenger of the covenant. That is, to execute justice and judgment on this earth. May I say to you very candidly, if you could convince me today that God does not intend to judge sin, and that he intends to let the injustice that's being done, to let men get by with that, then I say very frankly, I'd turn my back on him if he intends to do that. But he's made it very clear. He doesn't intend to turn his back on it. God intends to judge mankind. My friend, if you won't have him as your Savior, you're going to have him as your judge, whether you like it or not. He said that the Father committed all judgment under the Son, and in the book of Revelation, which we'll come to next, you're going to see a great white throne, and he's on it. And those that are the lost, both rich and poor, high and low, great and small, they're going to stand before that. You don't get by with it, my friend. I don't care who you are. You're not going to get by with it. Now, when it mentions the messenger of the covenant, and a great many have thought that it was the new covenant in the New Testament, and actually it had no reference to the first coming of Christ, and it is the covenant that God had made with these people, and it's expressed in several places. For instance, Leviticus, the 26th chapter, and let me read beginning at verse 9 to you. And I think you'll find this is the covenant, the messenger of the covenant. God says here, "For I will have respect unto you, and make you fruitful, and multiply you, and establish my covenant with you. And ye shall eat old store, and bring forth the old because of the new. And I will set my tabernacle among you, and my soul shall not abhor you. And I will walk among you, and will be your God, and ye shall be my people. I am the Lord your God, which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt, that ye should not be their bondmen. And I have broken the bands of your yoke and made you to go upright." This is the covenant God made with him, and you'll find that he confirmed it in Deuteronomy, because Deuteronomy is a confirmation of the law and their experience with it after 40 years. And in the 4th chapter of Deuteronomy, verse 23, I read, "Take heed unto yourselves, lest ye forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which he made with you, and make you a graven image, or the likeness of anything which the Lord thy God hath forbidden thee." And, of course, they had done that very thing, even turning to the occult. And all this section deals with that. In other words, we find the messenger of the covenant is coming someday to make good this. God will dwell in their midst, and that's the reason that we had in that first of the chapter the cleansing and the purifying, because God would not walk among them unless they were obedient unto him, unless he had cleansed them and purified them. And that, of course, is true, I think, today for any work at all. And he says, "The Lord whom ye seek," and this will be the Lord, he's God, if you please, manifest in the flesh, "he shall suddenly come to his temple." Now, that doesn't mean he'll soon come to his temple. Didn't mean that. But when he comes, it'll be sudden. A man says, "You know, you talk about the rapture, that the Lord will take the church out of the world." Well, he says, when that takes place and he removes the church and I see him leaving, I'm going to accept Christ then. And I said, "You know, it's interesting. That'll be too late, because the reason he's taking the church out is because it's completed. So you wouldn't be able to then... You could accept Christ and go through the great tribulation, but I think you're a fool to wait till then." Well, will you notice? "He shall suddenly come to his temple." And the interesting thing is, he's called the Lord, and this is his temple, and he's the messenger of the covenant. So this is the Lord Jesus Christ, the one that we know in the New Testament is the Lord Jesus Christ, is the angel of the covenant in the Old Testament. Now, will you notice, we know he refers to the second coming. Why? Because it's judgment here. Will you listen? "But who may abide the day of his coming?" That's the second coming of Christ. "Who shall stand when he appeareth? For he's like a refiner's fire, like fuller's soap." He intends to purify, and he intends to clean, purify and clean. You know, there's not going to be any pollution when he establishes the millennium on this earth. "And he shall sit like a refiner and purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi." He's going to cleanse, you see, those that enter the millennium, and purge them like gold and silver. And the two processes, cleansing and purifying. Cleansing is the use of soap, as it's used here. And also, the fire is used for testing. That's another way God has of purifying us, testing us, "that he may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness," that we might indeed be able to see Christ as our Savior, and that those in that day